your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. We are, again, talking broad markets, but also going to get into the precious metals as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Also writes the Lion Share website, which I will include a link to within the weekend show posting. Dana, starting off with the U.S. equity markets. We were talking a lot tail end of last year about how weak breadth was and the little bit of choppiness that we saw at the tail end of the year, as well as that rotation more into value out of growth. If we look at the S&P so far this month, it's down 5%. The NASDAQ is down almost 8% this month and down 3% this week as we are recording later in the day on Thursday. What's your thoughts on these U.S. markets? Is this a dip to be bought right now?
Maybe for a trade, like we spoke about before I came on. The breadth deterioration, you know, since November is serious enough to suggest more of the on the lines of an intermediate term correction. So probably on the order of a couple more months, even depends how fast we get to conditions that are that have sufficiently corrected that divergence and corrected the investment, the investor bullishness and the extremes there in sentiment. So, but what we saw obviously was, you know, the broad market and the smaller caps break down or at least top out in back in, you know, November, and now are breaking down some below some key technical levels. At the same time, the large caps and the large cap averages hold up much better, obviously, into the beginning of this year. But invariably, when you look at the types of divergences we saw with breadth, with the number of stocks hitting new lows, even as the indices were hitting new highs towards the end of the year, those types of divergences almost always turn into something more serious on the downside. So what we've seen over the last 2 weeks is basically the large caps and some of the other sectors that had held up kind of catching down to the broader market. If that's the case, if they're going to follow the broader market lower, they've got still got quite a bit of catching up to do on the downside. So this could get a little bit more serious and take a little bit more time to run its course before, you know, a more sustainable dip is to be bought.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems almost like passive investors that just bought the indexes did a lot better last year and even heading into this year than investors that may have diversified into multiple stocks, because many of those stocks in those sectors, whether it's the S&P or the NASDAQ or the Russell 2000, got hammered. They're down 30, 40, 50%, where when you look at the indexes, it gives you a lot better feeling that, hey, things have been pretty good for the last year. Are there any sectors or individual companies that you're shorting right now? Because I know you play both sides of the market, Dana. Are there sectors that you feel are still going to stay under pressure for a while?
I mean, the growth areas are obviously your relative laggards right now. And we always want to be buying relative strength into dips and shorting or selling relative laggards into bounces. So anything growth related, we want to be selling or shorting on the bounces. Again, nothing's going to be straight down, so you want to pick your spots with that. But anything that's broken some key technical levels, you look at technology or consumer discretionary, obviously the small caps, anything growth that we've talked about, those types of areas, I would not hesitate to be shorting, you know, again, it, at the right levels. Some areas, some international areas as well, look like they are pretty vulnerable right now. And again, if the sectors and all of the cap weighted areas are to catch up to the downside to match what, you know, the broader market and the smaller caps have done on the downside, then there'll probably be nowhere to hide once this thing is has run its course. But obviously you want to continue to ride the trend. So that means you're shorting those areas in growth that have broken some key technical levels that are more vulnerable to further downside.
So, Dana, let's switch focus here and talk about precious metals, because that was a topic that we covered a lot this week because of the moves that we saw on Wednesday, specifically in gold and the gold stocks that both moved higher. GDX was up something like 7% on Wednesday. Silver started moving on Tuesday, and Wednesday also got a buy, as well as the stocks. And commodities broadly have done well this week. Take into consideration that GDX just this month is still only up 2%, but this is a much better week. What's your take on that bounce we saw on Wednesday? Is it the start of another uptrend in your eyes?
Well, it could be. I think it was a key day. I don't say that too often either. From a longer term perspective, we do think there's another up leg of the precious metals bull market. We saw that big rally that ran up into the former highs that ended in the mid, say, summer of 2020 in gold. And then around that key Fibonacci retracement, and a lot of the gold miners and gold miner funds. So we think this is, since 2020, this is more or less of a consolidation of that rally and gearing up for another big up move. The question is always, from what level and when does that begin? So we did. We were actually had a short position on the gold miners over the last several weeks. It looked like to us that it might be setting up for one more move lower after testing the same levels, the same support levels multiple times. That didn't happen as of yesterday. We saw a nice breakout above some key levels. Got it. Most of these miners, ETFs, as well as the metals, we got it out of harm's way. Considering the consolidation has been, it's still got plenty of resistance. And when I say it, I'm talking about the precious metals complex in general. It's got plenty of resistance to get through still. So again, that's not going to be a straight shot up, but it did recover some key technical levels, started making at least a near-term higher high, which is important, got it out of harm's way, like I said, and might be the start of, you know, at least starting to make its way back up higher. So we are out of our shorts, flip long again. Gold and silver, we have maintained a small long position. As we improve that, the technical position in those areas will continue to accumulate positions there. But as of yesterday, out of harm's way, prospects are a little bit better in that area.
Well, Dana, I know that you look at things from the lens of quantitative analysis and metrics and looking at technical analysis. Do you do any inner market analysis, though, where you look at one asset class compared to other asset classes in your due diligence? When you're looking at the precious metals, do you look at them versus the dollar or the general markets? We've just seen a lot more news about this may be the chance for the precious metals complex to outperform the general equities.
Yeah, to be honest, we don't. That doesn't enter into our quantitative models at all. I will say, when you know, you look at some ratios, intermarket ratios on a longer term basis, that provides kind of a background lens to stepping off area to look at, considering, you know, whether it's precious metals or commodities versus equities, which are extremely, the ratio is extremely cheap right now. But that can remain that way in a long time. And the other pitfall in looking at the intermarket analysis is that correlations can change, the relationships can change. In our view, it's hard enough to try to figure out where one asset is going, where the price of one asset is going, much less figure out what that price is, the price of that asset is going based on the price of a different asset. So from our mind, our point of view, we try to simplify things and judge everything, each and every ticker on its own merits. So, but it is, from, like I said, from a background standpoint, it's interesting to see where you are on a historical basis, what types of assets are extremely cheap historically now and have that potential perhaps to move much higher, and which ones are very expensive, and while they might still be in an uptrend, might not have that potential fuel left for a huge move.
Well, we've talked a lot about how undervalued commodities are, or hard assets compared to financial assets, so who knows, maybe this is the start of a change, but I think, as you've outlined very well there, is that this is still early on. So let's see what the follow through is. I know we say that a lot, but quite frankly, that is important because, look, for gold, we have been at $1,840 before. For silver, we have been right around $25 before. And what we need is another leg higher to get some more interest in the sector. Dana, thank you, as always, for your time. Always interesting to hear what markets you're trading and your outlooks. So we'll be chatting in another couple weeks. In the meantime, hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure being on.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.